Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Kevin Ingram, David James here with you on this Friday morning discussing the Tennessee Titans. And as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock, we welcome in our good friend Jared Stillman to the program. Jared, good morning. How are you doing? What's going on?
Oh, I am just fabulous. And it's such an honor to be on a program hosted by Kevin Ingram that, I was doubly excited when I woke up this morning knowing that I was coming on the Robbie and Rex Road program with Kevin Ingram.
Thanks, Jared. I appreciate that, and same goes for me. I was driving in this morning, and I heard the song, This Is It, the Kenny Loggins song, and I thought, you know, Jared, you're a big Louisville Cardinals fan, right? And that was the theme song for their championship team going all the way back to 1980, so I was like, you know, that feels appropriate.
That is perfect. And also, you know, I think about, I mean, I want to say that I've been listening in some capacity to Kevin Ingram since I was, gosh, I want to say a freshman in high school. That would have been 2004, so that's 19 years. And Kevin, you know, for years, you were fabulous, with Mark and Frank, and now, you know, doing the Vandy games of basketball and everything. I mean, just, it is, the honor is mine.
Oh, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. And it's a lot of fun. I've had a good time this morning. And somebody earlier told me I sounded like Joe Rex wrote it. I took that as a compliment. I was like, I should have worn some Michigan State gear.
Well, Jared would tell you, you probably shouldn't take that as a compliment, right?
I mean, the takes are probably better than Joe's. But
I don't have quite the info or knowledge that Joe has.
So, Jared, we've been talking a lot, obviously, about Petit Frere and the suspension of 6 games by the NFL yesterday. My question to you is very simply, how damaging do you think this is for the Tennessee Titans heading into this year?
So I actually think there's a chance this may end up being a good thing for the Titans if they use common sense and if they take it the right way. I mean, it's never good, you know, the idea to not have a right tackle. And I've told the story, I don't know, probably 1,000 times, that the first time that I ever worked with Floyd, you know, where it was just me and him, I was trying to make some small talk before we went on the air, and I said, Florida, the Titans going to be any good. And this was the year they drafted Mariota, and Wisenhunt was the coach. And he looks at me and goes, we don't have a right tackle. And I was like, that's pretty important, huh? He's like, right tackle. I was like, yeah. But, I mean, I'm really in favor of Peter Skoronski playing tackle. I mean, he played tackle in college. I don't think that either of the two tackles, whether it's Petit Frere or Andre Dillard, I don't think either of those two tackles are franchise players. I think Skoronski is, so I'm a little hopeful that given this news, the Titans will move Dillard to right tackle, and then they will place Skoronski at left tackle, and that he'll stay at left tackle for the next 12 years. I'm not betting on it, but I'm hopeful that's what happens. If it's just at face value where Petit Frere is out for 6 weeks, and we see the Titans, you know, put the Jameel Douglas of right tackle out there, you know, like Dennis Daly, you know, has to go back out there next year. You know, that kind of player ends up at right tackle, they're in some real trouble. And I'm worried it's going to be that as opposed to, okay, well, let's reshuffle the deck and get it ready for training camp. And with that being said, I mean, Petit Frere wasn't a good right tackle last year, but at least he was a right tackle. And as those with more wisdom than we said one time, they don't have a right tackle.
that is correct. So speaking of betting, as you threw it out there, I mean, we've seen.
No, wait. Somebody, we don't want anybody to get suspended.
That's
here.
Right. Yeah, we got to be careful.
Jared, we're going to sit you for 6 shows.
That's right. So what do you make of how the NFL's handling this? Because, I mean, the guys like Calvin Ridley a couple years ago and Isaiah Rodgers who get suspended for an entire year for betting on the NFL, like, that all makes sense to me. But what do you make of the guys like Petit Frere and with the Lions situation of they're on a team's Wi-Fi and they're not betting on the NFL, and yet they're still being handed out 6-game suspension? Is it fair? Is it unfair? What do you think of that?
Well, first of all, Isaiah Rodgers is lucky he's not in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, like I'm trying to figure out where that line is, because when I was in college with the women's basketball team at Louisville, you know, every time they would make the NCAA tournament, there'd be some lecture about, you know, hey, man, everybody out there, don't bet on it. They even brought in the guy from Arizona State one time to talk to us about it. So I don't know, like, if you're betting on, and you've got the inside info. I mean, I don't know where the line is there. As far as, like, the team facility, I hear this all the time. What's the difference between the guy in the team facility and one step outside the team facility. And I asked the question, well, what's the difference between having a gun at the airport and one step outside the airport? Yesterday, I was, parked at Music City Center for the draft. And as I walked into the Music City Center garage, it said smoking is prohibited in the garage. So you're telling me I can smoke one step outside the garage, but I can't smoke one step inside the garage? And the answer is yes. Why is that? I don't know. Those are the rules. And so these are the NFL rules. And apparently everybody else on the Titans seemed to get the memo. I don't think Petit Ferrer is the only one on the team that has a FanDuel account. And so he's the only one who didn't get the memo. I do have empathy because I was at one point kind of in a similar situation in my life, but I don't have any sympathy because as a, you know, an adult who makes millions of dollars, just like I wouldn't have sympathy if he had the flu and he had ingested the wrong cough syrup. I just don't have sympathy for a grown man who breaks the rules, even if the rule is, you know, what's the difference between one step over here and one step over there? I mean, it's like, you know, you go to a state line that where weed's legal. One step over here, you can do it. One step over here, you can't. And I think it's really a straw man argument to make the, well, I don't like the rule, so let me complain about that, as opposed to the fact that the guy broke the rule that he should have known.
And nobody ever smokes one step out of that parking garage downtown.
That's right.
You just never smell any smoke down there.
No. You know.
Of any kind.
I don't want to know what happens if you smoke inside the garage. But luckily for me, you know, knock on wood, given my lack of smoking, I'll never have to worry about that. But, you know, it's a scary thought.
Jared, you look at these first six games of the season and not having this piece for your offensive line. If you're the Titans, you're Rand Carthon, you're Mike Vrabel, do you want to spend some money there on that, or do you try to ride it out with what you have and maybe save that money if you have a chance to get DeAndre Hopkins?
Well, I mean, if it were up to me, Kevin, I mean, Peter Skoronski would be playing tackle, and I just don't think that's going to happen. So, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, all right, and I think we can all agree. Let's just say the Titans were to move Dillard to right tackle and put Skoronski at left tackle. It feels easier at this juncture in time to be able to replace a guard than it would be to replace a starting tackle. But I just don't know how much money they have. I mean, I think they spent last year like $250 million on their roster, $260 somewhere around there. I think they're at like $225 right now. And so that's really not a lot of money given the injuries that they're going to have over the course of the year if they were to sign DeAndre Hopkins. And I'm so hell-bent on them signing DeAndre Hopkins that I would not spend money for these six games when maybe I can just find a way to squeak through. Similarly to what they did, you know, at the beginning of the 19 season when Lawan got suspended for PEDs and Nate Davis got hurt and they didn't have a right guard. And it was ugly for a couple of games. But, you know, can they find a way to squeak through and win some of these early games? And then after the six games, you know, they're games they should win. Atlanta, Tampa Bay, Carolina, Indy, Houston. You know, like there are games they should win on the back end of that schedule. So I would not, Kevin, but that doesn't mean if their idea is to keep Skoronski at left guard and to keep Dillard at left tackle, then I would have to think about it. So I guess it's my way of saying they probably will, but I wouldn't.
Robbie asked me this question earlier about the division, and you look at Indy and you look at Houston, you say, okay, there are probably some winnable games in there, but I made the comment that I felt like there's a new sheriff in town, and we saw it last year with Jacksonville. How do you look at that whole equation with the Titans, regardless of who's playing offensive line? Can they find enough success to be a contender and have a chance to win that division? And you think about the way things kind of went a little south there, no pun intended, you know, toward the end of last year. But what do you think about the big picture of the AFC South for this team coming up?
So I think, you know, all things aside, I thought the Titans were going to win this division. Now, I haven't thought about it with Petit Ferrer in there, but I got to just see it from Jacksonville again. I mean, I'm a little skeptical because the end of the year, everybody told me how great Trevor Lawrence was playing. And then they played the Titans in that last game of the year, and he wasn't that good. And then he started out that playoff game so poorly. And even in the Kansas City playoff game, I didn't think that, like, I didn't see the electric type plays that I see out of a Joe Burrow or somebody like that. And I think that people say, well, oh, Lawrence is ascending to that category. And I guess I haven't seen it. Jacksonville is going to have a first place schedule. They've got a respect factor now that when teams play them, they're not going to look at them and think, oh, it's Jacksonville. And we saw Doug Peterson, you know, kind of have that really successful year in Philadelphia and then go downhill. And so I'd like to see if Doug Peterson can recreate the magic. He's ranked higher than Mike Vrabel on a lot of these lists. And maybe that's because, you know, he can tell his players not to gamble on sports inside the facility. Although Cam Robinson did get suspended. But maybe that's why he may be a step ahead of Vrabel. But, I mean, I see that, and I think a lot of people say, okay, well, he won that Super Bowl in Philadelphia, and then last year he brought the Jags back, so he's better than Vrabel. I go back to that last game last year. The Titans did not have a team. Like, that was a preseason roster with Derrick Henry on the field. And the Titans were right there in that game with a fully loaded and healthy Jacksonville squad.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that shows you the ability that Vrabel has as a coach. So I do think the Titans are going to be right there with Jacksonville for the division. I certainly don't think this Petit Frere thing helps anything. But if they add DeAndre Hopkins, with Hopkins and the jumps I expect from Burks and Okonkwo, I still think, Kevin, the Titans can win this division. The Titans, and I know that we can't like look back at sports and say, okay, well, this should have happened. Because if we do that, you know, the Buffalo Bills should have won two Super Bowls in the 90s. But the Titans, in my opinion, should have won the division last year, and they didn't. And everything had to go wrong for that to happen. So I am optimistic on this season and this year's schedule, although, again, the six-game suspension doesn't help matters.
Jared, last thing for you. What did you make of the Predators and their draft? You can go through all 11 picks.
Yeah,
if
we
you
want all
to.
11 right here.
But more specifically, the fact that no real big trades made by really anybody, but Barry Trotz specifically, given the hype heading into the draft.
Well, first of all, I mean, Adam Vingan has been on me saying that I am a Barry Trotz enthusiast, that he thinks that my opinions on, you know, this new era of the Predators is not objective. And I told him, I said, well, you know, if anybody comes in and they sell off to begin and then they, you know, move off of John Hines, I'm probably going to like them, since those were some policies that I had been advocating for a while. I mean, look, Barry Trotz told Pierre LeBrun this. He told me this yesterday on the show. He tried. I mean, he can't take San Jose's fourth pick from them. If they choose not to trade the fourth pick, I can't hold that against Barry Trotz. I have no idea if Matthew Wood is any good or not. I have no idea about Tanner Mullendyke. I have that. Who knows? I like the plan that Barry Trotz has conveyed to the fans. I think the team's going to make the playoffs next year. I guess I'm the biggest homer over here. I think the Titans are going to win the division, and I think the Predators are going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to make the playoffs next year just because I really like this coach. I guess. I really like this coach. And between that and the fact that, again, they had a lot of injuries like the Titans did, and that team was right there last year and just didn't make the playoffs, I think they're going to make it. But when I hear Barry preach patience, I think to myself, at least he's conveying to the fans the reality of the situation. And his thoughts of where this team is kind of mesh with mine. Now, I just don't know how they're going to solve the answer of the great search for the number one center. Like, I mean, what year? You know, we're in the 25th year of the Predators. Moses wandered the desert for 40 years. So, I mean, are we looking at 15 more years before the Predators end up with a number one center? I love Barry. I think he's going to be a good general manager. But, I mean, you just can't invent a number one center just like you can't invent a franchise quarterback. I mean, I'd love to have Joe Burrow on my team too. So that's the one thing that I keep wondering about, you know, is this team's going to win too many games for them to be at the top of the draft next year to be able to do that. So how does Barry find the number one center for the solution for this franchise? But other than that, I like everything I see. I like everything I hear. And I got goosebumps yesterday when I was standing on the floor and I saw the David Poyle final pick, and everybody rose up in front of me, and then everybody rose up behind me. I got goosebumps from that. So I'm very optimistic about the Predators and the Trotz administration, as I'd like to call it.
Jared, have yourself a great weekend. We'll be listening at 2 o'clock, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Kevin, great to be on with you.
Thanks, Jared. Appreciate the kind words, man.
Jared Stillman with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we're going to get into a little bit of Vanderbilt football. The season is right around the corner. SEC Media Days is coming up, and before we know it, college football will be here. Clark Lee heading into year three. What are fair expectations for this team, and what do we make of the direction that Vanderbilt is headed? We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Robbie Stanley alongside the great Kevin Ingram. David Janes here with us on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Jared Stillman for being with us in the last segment. We will have Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, coming up at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to that.
Stillman doesn't have any opinions about anything,
no,
does he?
No, he just boring, bland. Never says anything.
Even like mixed in the country accent there for
he
a minute.
Did. It was pretty good. Good to know he doesn't smoke, though. That was good to find out. In that,
very good.
In that
very
segment.
Good.
Yeah. Way to go, Jared.
Yeah, when he's talking about smoking in that parking garage, like, where is he going with this? Yeah. Like, I've been in that parking garage a lot of times.
I have, too. So, Kevin, we were just talking about it off the air. We're not that far away from SEC Media Days. That's coming up on July 17th is the first day of that here in town, here in Nashville. And as we know, I mean, after that, we're into August, and college football is right around the corner. And Vanderbilt, to me, is really intriguing heading into this year. You're going into the year three for Clark Lee. We saw it at the end of last year. They went on the road. They took down Kentucky. They won that game. We mentioned that game earlier. Followed it up the next week at home with the win against Florida. So that's two huge wins for Vanderbilt. Obviously, the Tennessee game didn't go well to close out the season there. But I felt like there was a lot of really good momentum for Clark Lee and that program heading into the offseason this past year. I like A.J. Swan. I think he played really well last year as a freshman. I'm really interested to see what he does heading into this year. But as you look at where Clark Lee and this Vanderbilt program is heading into this season, the momentum that they have carrying over from last year, the momentum on the recruiting trail that they've established as well, what do you make of where this program is? And I guess fair expectations, for lack of a better term, heading into year three for Clark Lee, what do you make of what Clark Lee has done to set the table for this group heading into this year?
Well, first of all, it's a little warm in the studio this morning. It's helping me thaw out from the Kentucky game from last November. I've been on the sidelines for a lot of games, and that was one of the coldest ones. I got there, and it was pouring down rain just trying to get in from the parking garage to the stadium, so I already was soaked before I even got in there. And then in about the second quarter, it snowed.
It looked miserable.
It was miserable. But the end result was fantastic, and that was one of the more memorable wins I've been a part of with that program over the years. To see just that sort of release of excitement, you know, with Coach Lee and his staff and the players and how excited they were to finally break through and win that first SEC game with this coaching group was really exciting. And then they followed it up the next week with that big win over Florida and, you know, the field storm, you know, I say that in air quotes,
yes,
jokingly, which is like that was not a rush of the field.
It was not.
That's a story for another time. It was an orderly progression of people down steps. I think it's exciting to think about going into the season. And I know Coach Lee wants to move forward and say, you know what, those two wins, those were last year. Those were in November of 2022.
Right.
But those do nothing but help the confidence of your program. Came within a win of really going to a bowl game last year, went 5-7, and you think about some of the near misses back earlier in the season that could have made a difference. The game in Missouri was one of them. A couple games here and there, they go a different way, and you're playing in the postseason. But that is the stated goal for 2023 for this program, is to make it to postseason, to play in a bowl game for the first time in a few years and the first time with this coaching staff. And it felt like those wins were a big step forward. It's one thing to win some non-conference games, and you know you feel good about that part of it, but it's another thing to win SEC games, and those are really difficult. And I think Coach Lee's done a good job. They've They've continued to build the talent level and plug in parts at different positions. And we all know college athletics is different today than it used to be with the transfer portal and, you know, adding pieces. You see that in every sport. But I think the things to be excited about, if you want to start on the offensive side of the ball, I mentioned A.J. Swan. He's a sophomore, Georgia native, played 9 games last year. They certainly have to keep him healthy. Dinged up a few times, but passed for over 1,200 yards, 58% completion percentage, 10 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. So I think he's well on his way to having a really nice college career. And it feels like you've almost forgotten about a guy like Ken Seals, who had been the starter a few years ago, and you know he's going to have a chance to be the number two guy. He did not play at all last year. We saw a lot more of Mike Wright. He moved on to a different stop in his college career after doing some really nice things, especially in those wins. But I think the quarterback group looks good. The receiver group looks good. Can you get improvement out of the offensive line? And you know, certainly, can your running back group serve you well, Davey? Davis isn't here anymore. Not Davion Davis, but Ray Davis, I should say. Yep. But you guys got guys like Patrick Smith. You have a really talented freshman in Cedric Alexander and Chase Gillespie, too. I think some of those position groups on offense are fun to think about, but especially the receivers led by Will Shepard. That guy's, I mean, he's becoming a pretty big college star in the SEC, which is a tough league, and he's a senior this year. And they're going to count on him for not only the pass-catching part of it, but more of the leadership part of it too. But I think there's some things to be excited about on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Like I said, I think A.J. Swan is going to have a really big year. You got Will Shepard, who is an absolute stud at the receiver position. And I look at the schedule too, Kevin, and look, it's easy to sit here on June 30th and look at the schedule, but – you got two similar opponents in your non-conference from last year, Hawaii at home. So, sorry, you don't get to go to Hawaii again this year.
It kind of stinks.
No, no, right?
Okay, I didn't go to Hawaii the first 50 years of my life.
That's right.
I went twice in 9 months.
That's right. Three times be good.
I made
round it out.
I made the fastest ever trip to Hawaii and back. I was there for 3 days last August. That just didn't feel right.
That's right. You can get a long enough time there.
I got out there on Thursday. I did about as much as you can do in 2 days. We played the football game, then got on the plane and came back home.
That's right.
It's like, man, as soon as I got out there, it was time to come back.
It's time to go on back. But Hawaii coming in on August 26th here in Nashville. You got Wake Forest on the road this year. So you played those two teams last year, Alabama A&M, UNLV. So an opportunity there in the non-conference to make some noise. And then this year, I mean, you got Auburn as your other crossover
opponent.
You got
the trip out to Vegas to play UNLV.
There is Vegas. There is that.
Oh, man.
So you could have some fun
over,
out there.
Let's go over the rules here.
Let's see. What are the rules out there? That's right.
So we have Nicholas on line one.
You get to play in the giant Roomba out there at Allegiant Stadium. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, it does look like a Roomba, doesn't it?
It's it's hilarious.
Don't they have like a slot machine or something with if they get a turnover and they
just pull that thing? Yeah,
yeah. I think they do something like that.
They do.
I'll get my picture made with that and send it to you.
You should. Please do. Auburn's the crossover opponent.
Oh boy.
And obviously, you've got your traditional SEC East opponents this year, too. But, you know, I think the stated goal should be a bowl game. And I think this team has the capability of getting there as they embark on that this year. Look, I mean, I have no idea what Kentucky's going to be this year, Missouri's going to be this year. You know, obviously we know what Georgia is, and we know, you know, Tennessee has a chance to be pretty good too. But I think a postseason appearance for Vanderbilt is well within the realm of possibility. And quite frankly, like, I think Clark Lee's done a really good job through his first 2 years.
I think he has too. And he feels like he's the right guy for this job because he understands what it takes to win at Vanderbilt. But he's also made some other stops in his coaching career and has, you know, come back with a lot of good ideas about how he wants the program to be shaped. And he's a defensive guy, and there are some really nice pieces on the defense too. And you saw some guys take a big step forward. C.J. Taylor, the young man from McMinnville, boy, I love the way that guy played. You know, especially in those wins, he was really good. To Ricky Wright too, and I feel like the secondary has a chance to make a big jump forward. I feel like their linebacker group is good, but as we all know, those line spots on both sides, on offense and defense, are so key in winning in the SEC. And I know everybody always looks at the big skill guys, the quarterbacks and those things in the Southeastern Conference. But to me, a lot of what wins and loses football games, it's the depth on your defensive line. You look at look at the teams that are really good. Look at Georgia, look at Alabama and some of the others. It always feels like they have like 8 good defensive linemen that they can rotate in and out. And you have to have that depth in those positions, I think, to have success in this league.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're looking ahead to Vanderbilt football in 2023.
What do you make of the job that Clark Lea has done to this point? What do you think are fair expectations for Vanderbilt heading into the season? We'll continue that discussion coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
So we're still video streaming? You said that only be for the first hour.
I lied to you.
Okay.
All right. Now it's just 7 o'clock hour. We'll turn it off at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
See how that goes. I got some tickets to give away to see Monster Jam World Finals tomorrow. From Nissan Stadium, from a suite. Be caller 5-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Monster Jam World Finals at Nissan Stadium from a suite coming up tomorrow. And the suite part's nice because it'll be about 100 degrees. It'll be good.
Yeah, and you don't get dirt on you or anything.
Don't get dirt on you. Now, we were talking about fried Oreos and like some fair food during the break. Now I'm hungry, but there's not much that you can deep fry that I probably won't eat. I think we've determined in our discussion.
We go out to the Wilson County Fair every summer in August, and usually every year we try something different that's deep fried. We've had the Oreos, we've had the Twinkies, and the Oreos are pretty solid. Because it's something about the way the frosting sort of melts.
It's pretty elite.
Yeah, it is elite for sure.
Don't have too many of them, but it's pretty elite.
Yeah, about one is about all you can handle.
That's right. Taking your thoughts on Vanderbilt football, 615-737-1025. Will from Nashville says, Kevin, sorry I may have missed this, but who will be the running back? Any thoughts on him? And what are your thoughts on the offensive line heading into this season?
The running back, you know, it feels like you're going to be able to choose from a few pretty talented guys. Patrick Smith, the junior from Atlantic City, was limited some by injuries last year, played in 8 games. Really talented guy, both running and catching the football. Chase Gillespie, another guy, didn't play a ton last year, was in for 4 games, but he got a little glimpse of what he can do. And I really like a young man named Cedric Alexander. He's a freshman from Austin, Texas. And he played a lot during the spring game back a few weeks ago. I think people are going to be excited to see him. He's not a big guy, but he's one of those guys that feels like for defenders is hard to locate. And I like what I saw out of him both in the spring practices and in the spring game. That offensive line up front, you got a lot of experience coming back. So I think that's going to serve this group well. I mean, you have a chance to have multiple starters back on that offensive line and you know, some experienced guys who played in the SEC and they know how to line up and try to get the job done against those really difficult defensive lines you see around this league. And, you know, they played against Alabama and they played against Georgia and they know what it's about. So I look for that group to take a step forward too with Coach Blasey.
Well, and then on the defensive side of the ball, and you brought it up because as we know, Clark Lea is a defensive guy, and we knew when he took the job at Vanderbilt that it was going to be a process and there were going to have to be some recruiting classes that you stack together in terms of just the talent that you're bringing in to the program. And I think that Clark Lea has done a really good job on that front. It's going to be interesting to see how that continues to evolve. And, you know, we've got a lot of questions on the text line about, you know, First Bank Stadium and what that looks like and all these things. We'll get to those here in just a few minutes. But I think with Clark Lea, as the years go on and him entering into year 3 now, bringing in more talent into the program, I think you're going to start to see his expertise on the defensive side of the ball shine through a little bit more as they move forward here.
No doubt about it. And you've already seen some of that, I think. And it's fun to watch him out there during practice. And, you know, he's very low-key and soft-spoken when you see him in interviews. But to see him on the practice field or coaching during games, it's a little different. It really is. And you see him bring the fire a little more with that group. But, yeah, I like some of the pieces they have on defense, too. And, you got some really experienced guys coming back. A guy like Jalen Mahoney, you think about how much football that guy has played. One guy to watch, I think, is going to be interesting is Miles Capers, who missed all of last season with an injury. He got hurt right before the Hawaii trip. What kind of contributions can he make? But you know, I feel like even with the loss of a key guy like Anthony Orgie, who's been the leading tackler for this team the last couple of years, I mean, he's had like 200 tackles over the last 2 seasons. I feel like the pieces they can plug in at linebacker and the experience they have there with Ethan Barr coming back has played a lot of football, and a guy like Kane Patterson too, who's you know was here last year, and I thought after transferring in from Clemson, really did a nice job. I feel like they have some pieces that are going to be good on that defensive side of the ball too.
William from Madison on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I'd like to ask Kevin What are the plans for the locker rooms and scoreboard this year for First Bank Stadium? This is from William from Madison on the text line.
I don't know. Next question.
That's right.
You know the old saying, hey, if you're going to play our team, you better pack a hard hat.
That's right.
No, you better pack a hard hat.
You better do it.
No, it's an interesting situation over there, and I'm, you know, I was just over there yesterday, and there's construction going on both ends of the stadium, on the north end zone where they're building a new basketball facility that will double as game day event space for football. And then on the south end of the stadium, where if you haven't been over there lately or seen the construction cam, you remember how the stadium was bowled in? You know, you have the seats in the end zone. They're not there anymore. It's dirt.
Yeah.
They've ripped out the end zone seats, and they're going to build a whole new facility to go right there. And it's going to be fantastic when it's done. But right now, it's a work in progress. It's a construction site, and there's some street closures and those things. I would encourage fans, if you're going to be coming to games this fall, to follow things on the website or on social media and make sure you know what the plan is to get in and out of the stadium when you come over for games, because it's going to be very different this year with construction and really for the next couple seasons until it's all done. Now, when it's done, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be really, really nice, and it's going to be great for generations of fans to come. But there's going to have to be some patience, and even, you know, we've been told, it's like, look, you're going to have to walk a little more to get to where you need to go for work, so you're just going to have to go with it. It's one of those things. It's a little bit of the price of progress, but again, it's going to be all worth it in the end. And I think Candace Lee and Tommy McClelland and everybody involved in the leadership there is doing a great job with the Vandy United program to make it all happen, to raise the money necessary, and to make these improvements that are much needed if you want to try to keep up in today's college athletics, where it always feels like the facilities race is an arms race. Yep. If you look around what everybody has around the SEC and beyond.
Well, that part of it to me is so exciting because, you know, Clark Lee's talked about this, Candace Lee's talked about this in terms of just the idea of keeping up with the facility, the Vandy United Fund, and we've heard from so many fans over the years of, yeah, well, talk to me when the shovel's in the ground. Well, the shovel's in the ground, and things are going really well over there. And yeah, like you said, Clark Lee was ecstatic with us last year talking about these things. We've talked with all sorts of people over there that are really excited about what this is going to mean, and I can't wait to see the finished product and what that's going to look like over there.
I want to go over and pick up some pieces of rubble or maybe a couple of old bleachers from especially where my wife and I sat at the U2 concert back in 2011.
That's right.
You know, it made me feel a little
nostalgia.
Yeah, a little nostalgia for sure. I got in trouble once for peeking in and trying to just see what was going on, and one of the construction guys came and was like, "Look, dude, you need to move along, or you know, put on a hard hat or something like that." I was like, "Man, I'm not trying to cause any problems.
Sorry, man.
I just want to see what's going on, man. I want to see the progress."
Well, look, it's good. People are excited, right? Like, it's you know, a lot of Vanderbilt fans have been waiting on this for a long time, and I think it's going to be really awesome to see what that looks like. And we talk about the recruiting, right, with Clark Lee and pick a program over there. The recruiting, this is going to do nothing but help when they get this thing finished over there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you have to sort of show people the vision right now and say, look, this is what it's going to be. We can't show you all of it, you know, tangibly done just yet, but down the road in a couple of years it is really going to be good, and it's going to affect all different programs. The basketball facility is going to be super nice. Obviously, the stuff with the football stadium, we saw the plans for Hawkins Field and what that's going to look like down the road. I wish you could snap your fingers and it all be done, especially those seats on top of the wall in left field. That's going to be super cool.
It's going to be awesome. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 745. Either the Rex Rant. Rex, I've found, Kevin, Rex Road's way more angry than I am, so it's more difficult for me to come up with things to rant about. But yeah. Joe, I mean, he can rant all the time.
Oh, yeah. Just about anything, honestly, it feels like.
Sometimes I worry about
that. I can see that.
Sometimes I worry about it a little bit. We'll see what I got at the table coming up next.
All right.
This is the Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5, The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
Would go turbo, turbo, and then they'd shoot up and they'd go and hit into the pad. I watch that every freaking day.
So turbo, turbo, that's pretty funny. It's like the Toonses thing. It's just everything's fine, fine, fine. And then off the cliff, and then insisting on doubling down.
stack up off the line and have to play. Jordan Russo, it's up ridiculous. On the middle of the game?
As always,
sounds good.
Joe Rex Road.
It's ridiculous.
As always, joining us on the program. Speaking of that,
Joe just hung up on us.
Joe got mad? Oh, it's great.
What the heck, Joe? Friend, a
sacrifice. Well, David, you're right. He does get mad at Jared a lot.
A lot. We have Elliot so much.
Lots of anger there between Rex Road and Stillman.
Is this like a usual thing between those two?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all the time. I hope that like Rex Road, while he's on vacation, is like letting his body recover from the anger that's just flowing around, apparently, with Stillman.
Feel the hate.
Just feel the hatred flowing through him right there, yeah. Well, I hope he's enjoying himself on this vacation.
Yeah, where's Rex Road?
I think he's in D.C. right now.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I thought he like went to the Upper Peninsula or somewhere like that.
He usually does, I think. I think he's in Chicago next week. Sorry, Joe, I'm broadcasting your location for everybody.
For anybody who's interested.
We now know.
We have Joe's itinerary right here.
Chicago and Washington, D.C., not that big. You can go find him. He's out there somewhere.
Just small town.
That's right. 615-737-1025.
I always feel a little bad when people say tease him about Lego hair. I was like, I probably got some of that going on, too.
At least y'all have hair. I mean, I'm 30 years old and bald.
I'm almost there with you, Robbie.
Embrace it, baby. It's good. I let it go. I held on to it too long. Sometimes you just got to let it go, man.
Preemptive strike.
Preemptive strike.
Yeah.
Just let that thing roll. All right, so my rant today is pretty simple. And, Kevin, you and I were actually talking about this a little bit earlier, but it's not so much of a rant as I feel like people probably aren't paying enough attention nationwide to Shohei Ohtani and what he's doing. And, look, it's probably premature for me to say this because of the longevity that's required to enter discussions like this. I've never seen a guy anywhere close to what Shohei Ohtani could do. Like, I think there's a chance that when he's done, we might look at him and say, that is the greatest baseball player of all time. Like, it's the guy you can pitch. You're a Cy Young level pitcher. You might be the best hitter in the game. It's incredible what he's done. He hit another home run yesterday, which was his 14th home run in the month of June. That's an Angels record. By the way, they've had Vlad Guerrero play for them. They had Mike Trout play for them. That's an Angels record that he set yesterday. It's incredible to watch this guy play. And look, I know he gets a lot of attention in the baseball world, but I just feel like maybe we're taking for granted a little bit what we're watching. I've never seen a guy like him before. I don't know how many we'll see like him afterward. But to be that dominant of a pitcher, that dominant of a hitter, just the all-around baseball player that he is, it's incredible to watch Shohei Ohtani do what he does. And look, we talked a lot about baseball here in the show. I grew up playing baseball. I know that a lot of people in my generation don't watch a ton of baseball, and that's a problem that the MLB is trying to fix. And they're trying to, you know, they've got the pitch clock. And
I think the bigger
things.
Bases are going to definitely
the
bring
bigger bases yeah. bringing in. The new generation will love that stuff. But like, he's a guy that I find myself, if I'm just flipping channels and I see that he's on or he's up to bat, I mean, you better believe I'm stopping what I'm doing and I'm watching what's about to happen. Like, it's incredible to watch what Shohei Ohtani's doing. He's 29 homers deep into the season. We're not even in July
yet.
And he's batting .309, and he might be the best pitcher in baseball right now. It's incredible.
Did you see, like, I think it was Tuesday or Monday, he threw 10 Ks and had two home runs in one game.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's insane.
He's incredible to watch. And yeah, I don't know where he's going to be long term, whether that's going to be with the Angels or somewhere else, but I hope he's in a spot where people can enjoy what they're watching out there.
So maybe the Reds. I'm a pretty big baseball junkie. Yeah, that's got to be on a short list. We're going to get to that in a minute.
That's right.
Shohei Ohtani is one of the most remarkable talents I've ever seen. And that's not recency bias. I mean, I've watched baseball for a long time. And to see the things that that guy can do, both with the bat and pitching, you just don't see that combination. The kind of money he's going to get is just going to be off the charts. The one thing I think is a little unfortunate is all the talk about where his next stop's going to be. Because, can we let him finish up this time with the Angels and just see how this plays out for this particular season before, you know, everybody has to have him playing for the Yankees or whatever might be next? I get the MLB extra innings package where you can watch all the games. And so I find myself, the Angels play a lot of late games. So I drift over there, and it feels like every time I turn over to the Angels game, no matter who they're playing, it always feels like he's up to bat. Like either him or Mike Trout.
He sure hits a lot in this game, huh?
He sure hits a lot. Does he like bat every inning or what? But he's either pitching or he's up to bat an unbelievable talent. Not seen anything like that guy. And it'll be fun, say, 10 years down the road, and you pray for good health for that guy just to see what his career looks like, both hitting and pitching, because it may be a long time before we see another dude like that. And at the college level, you see Jack Caglione playing for Florida, and he's had a fantastic year hitting. Pitching, he kind of had his ups and downs, but they were calling him the college version of Shohei Ohtani. But there may only be one of that guy that we're seeing play for the Angels right now, and it's super fun to watch him play. Can I do a Rex rant, too? Can I give
Please
you?
Please do.
It's 7:51. We're an hour and 51 minutes into this show, and we have not talked about baseball's biggest story.
Oh, yeah? The Cincinnati Reds?
The 2023 Cincinnati
That's right, baby. Come on. Come on. I told you before the show. This De La Cruz kid, I love.
Oh, my
gosh. The guy's an absolute stud.
He's fun. Ellie De La Cruz is a crazy story. Did you read the whole thing on ESPN.com about him and his twin brother?
I did not see that.
So his twin brother is like 5'8". Ellie De La Cruz, you know, is six,
huge.
Looks like he's about 6'10". I think he's 6'4", you know, maybe a little taller than that. But they were just talking about him and his brother and how Ellie went through this growth spurt. And,
he's 6'5".
The Reds sort of, you know, just decided to take a chance on this guy. They had seen him, you know, playing in the Dominican, and now he's becoming the superstar. But gosh, he's going to see a steady diet of sliders, so I hope he's ready for that. But boy, what a jolt of energy he has been for that team that had already started to really play well. They have all these young guys. They're either in, you know, either rookies or, you know, really early in their careers, and they're all just putting it together. They're young and they're hungry, and it's like they don't know what they don't know. And then you bring back Joey Votto over the last couple of weeks. He's the grizzled vet at age 39, and he swung the bat well and seems like he's having a lot of fun. So that team, I don't know long-term in this season what's going to happen, but they moved up to the top of the standings, as you know, we talk here on this Friday morning before you get into the weekend games. They're tied with the Brewers. The Mets had one job, and that was to beat the Brewers. And
they totally screwed it up.
They totally screwed everything up. They ruined my whole week. But the Reds have been playing well. It was a fun series against Atlanta last weekend, even though they lost 2 out of 3. But showing that they can play well against some of the best teams, they came back and beat Baltimore on the road 2 out of 3. So it's been really an enjoyable thing to watch after what feels like a few years of wandering through the wilderness for Reds fans.
Well, Hunter Green is just – he can throw gas out there. It's incredible to watch.
He can, and his career arc is going to be something to watch, too, in these coming years.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dennis on the text line says, I was talking with my son about this last night. I know Aaron Judge broke a record last season, but how is anyone more valuable than Shohei? He's two of the best players in baseball in one person. No one is more valuable than that. I think that's a good way to describe it. Two of the best players in baseball in one person.
I think it would be interesting to go behind the scenes and see what the coaching is like for him. Because you think about, okay, if you're a pitcher or you're a position player, and how much time and effort goes into specializing in those parts of your game,
yep.
You know, into swinging the bat or to, you know, fine-tuning your craft as a pitcher and the rest that's required, and you throw those bullpen sessions and all that. But you're talking about a guy who's at the highest level doing both. How does it work when you talk about coaching that dude, or is it way easier than you might think it would be?
It's incredible to think about. Chris on the text line says, so sad the Angels are wasting him. They've wasted Trout to this point in his career, too. They can't ever get over the hump. Best two players in baseball, and they can't do anything. This is from Chris on the text line, which is why I think we're having a conversation about maybe where he ends up at some point.
Yeah, and you know, you think about Albert Pujols going to the Angels for all those years after the great run he had for the Cardinals.
It felt like
he just disappeared for a few years, you know, after he left St. Louis. Even though he absolutely wore out the Reds during his time with the Cardinals, I almost wish he would have played his whole career with St. Louis and to see what the numbers might have looked like him playing all those years for the Cardinals.
Skyline Chili, a recruiting pitch for Shohei?
You think that works? No question about that.
I love Skyline Chili.
I love Skyline.
We have a lot of hot takes about that here on our program.
You want hot takes on food? That's a good topic to start with, because I found that people either they love it or they hate it.
Yeah, there's no in between. I love it.
I like it.
We went to a Reds game, I think last year, and that, you know, they've got it in the ballpark up there, as you know.
Oh yeah, I was there last week and had.
Yeah, I think I had 4 in the game, and then we went. It was a day game. We went out later that night. And I had like 5 more. Like I had like 9 Coneys in one day. It was unbelievable. No regrets. I'd do it again.
Exactly. They're not giving them away at the ballpark. I found that out. It's like, wait a minute, $6.99.
How much is this? I got a lot of people saying go Braves
throwing shots at you on the
text
line.
You know what? I'm cool with the Braves. If I was picking a second favorite team, it'd be the Atlanta Braves. My wife is a Braves fan. I grew up with my uncle, who was the world's biggest Braves fan, going back to like 1966. He saw all these terrible teams for all these years, and they finally got good in the 90s.
This has been the Rob Rant. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program, either the Rex Rant or the Rob Rant. I don't know what we would call Kevin's Rant. We have to come up with a good name for that.
All right, we'll do that.
We'll figure that out during the break as well. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. We'll get his thoughts on the Nicholas Petit-Frere suspension, how that affects the Titans, and much more coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.